Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Man, it's good to be in the house of the Lord with you tonight. I do want to go over what Brother Colton was talking about. We are giving away gift baskets. We don't do Easter eggs or the Easter bunny. We do a candy rain because the Lord reigns. And so we're going to be giving away some gift baskets, just some incentives to get people to come to the house of the Lord, and some incentives maybe for some of you to invite a bunch of people, because the more times that you invite and they come, they have to be present, your name will go in the drawing more. And so this is one of our sanctuary baskets. There's four of these. Inside this basket is a lot of goodies, a lot of snacks. There's a custom tumbler made from Sister Wortham with our church logo on it. There's a lot of other little goodies in there. And so we're excited about what God is doing, and Pastor wants to push from 200 in attendance, and I don't think that's impossible. I think we can do that. I think it's possible, and with your help, we can do it. If we bind together, each and every one of us, we can both do it, and, you know, we can get this done. So we also have a basket for all of our classrooms. We have one for each classroom, and we have four for the sanctuary, so there's a lot of baskets to go around and give out, and we're excited about what God is doing. And so we had a great jail ministry today. We had five services. It was myself, Brother Corbett, and Brother Sister Ivy, and I know you'll hear a lot from me about it, but I asked Brother Corbett earlier to come, and he's going to testify about how jail service went and kind of give you an update of what goes on there at the jail. And God moved in a mighty way. We're excited about what God did.
Praise the Lord, church. It's good to be here this evening. And this is the sixth service of the day, but it doesn't feel like it. And I tell you what, in North Carolina, we tried years ago to get into the jail ministry. And they said, fine, but one person from three different churches has to go, and you couldn't teach doctrine. What's the use if you can't preach doctrine? But I have seen, just in the few weeks I have been here, the Lord move in the jail service. Now, you would think in amongst all the people, whatever they're there for, I don't ask, they don't tell, but you can feel the presence of God Almighty in those jail services. Sister Mahala was there with us last week, I believe it was, and we had good church. We didn't have one good service today. We had five good services in the jail ministry, and the first service we had, we didn't have but one person there. But you know what? We had church. Amen. The word came forth, and there was a move of God just with one person in there. The next group, I think there was about 15, but you know, the numbers were up and down. But God was present in every service today. Now, the Ivies, they have to leave, and we understand that, but me and Brother Zach were singing anyway because God was in the house there. You have to go through the bars. You have to go through the gates to get in there. But you know what? And it's like I tell them every week, guys, ladies in here, y'all are going to reach people I'll never see. And it's up to you to spread this word. Get the word lodged in your heart, and that's all you want to talk about. And it's fun talking about God, because I've just in the years I've been in church, and of course I think it's 27 years now I've had the Holy Ghost, but I've seen a lot. I've seen God do miraculous. I was telling them today, I personally know four people that have been raised from the dead, and one of them twice. Okay? Twice. And the miraculous things I've seen in church, it's not just in these four walls, but we have to take God's word and his testimonies out and reach everybody, because that's what we are charged to do. That I don't want that to be the reason that I don't make heaven, because I didn't share the gospel. And this jail ministry, they're powerful services in there, but it helps me also, because I'm helping to reach people that don't know God like we know him.
Amen. Amen. And y'all, many of y'all here that know Sister Crosswhite, know of one person that was raised from the dead as well. Sister C has told that, or Brother C has told that story about Sister C often, about how when she was little, God rose her from the dead. She was not breathing, and they rushed her from Zavala all the way to Lufkin, and in the hands of a minister and an evangelist, the pastor and the evangelist, she began to breathe again when they hit the Lufkin city limit line. And so that's our God. He's a miracle-working God. He's a chain-breaking God. He's a healing God. And he's here tonight. And if you're needing a touch from heaven, oh, we serve a God that can answer every need. That can answer every whatever situation you're going through. He has the answer. Amen. I want to welcome our guest. Good to see our friend here. She comes to the back and she helps us in children's ministry. And she has a granddaughter that comes. And we're so thankful for you being here, sister, and being a part of our service today. Amen. If we would all stand as we go to the word of the Lord, I also would like to give honor to Pastor in his absence. He asked me to teach. And I've been in a Bible study series with Brother Will. And we have done several of these. Some of you have started it as well for our house to house. And I felt led to take a lesson out of Apostolic Foundations, Brother Kuhn. And what we're going to be teaching on is what to do with life's burdens. What to do with life's burdens. If you'll turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 55, beginning at verse 4 through 8, and then we'll jump to verse 22 as well. It says, my heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Jumping down to verse 22, it says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Jumping over to Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse number 1, and we'll read through verse number 5. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. He deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you, God. I ask you, Lord Jesus, God, to take this lesson, God, and have what you will with it, Lord Jesus, God. Help us, God, in this service. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Amen. I'll try not to say that word too much. I don't see Austin in here, though. So that's one of my words that I have to learn not to say so much, telling on myself, but I'll do that often, and I'm trying to learn. I appreciate those that will let me know those things. That way I don't sound like a repeater up here. So something immediately clicks in our mind when we hear the word burden. From the past, our memory recalls a time of untold stress we once endured, or the present agony of a burdened heart. Without respect of persons, life imposes upon us seemingly insurmountable mountains of trial and pressure. We do not become so skillful in life that we can escape. The burly hands of burdens crush our hearts and minds until there seems to be no escape. Since this is the common lot of life, what are we to do? What are we to do? We have no wings as David wished for so he could fly away. We read there in Psalms 55 and 6. The darkness of the night cannot hide us from the seeking hand of life's burdens. Yet God has pre-planned, pre-written, time-tested formula for handling life's burdens. Applying his principles make life's burdens manageable through him. The Bible makes three distinct statements about burdens that on the surface may seem contradictory, but let us study each of these. Bearing one another's burdens. In Galatians 6, 1 and 2, it instructs, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." In this context, the word burden comes from the Greek word, and I probably won't say it right, but I'll try. It's baros, which means weight, load, abundance, something making a demand on our material and spiritual reserve. Saints should come to the rescue of a Christian brother or sister who is overwhelmed by a burden of spiritual failure. Many types of burden causes God's children to be downcast, weak, lukewarm, and unfaithful. Upon observing or discerning such conditions, we are to get under the burden with the person in need and help him or her bear it. As quickly as the bloodstream rushes in with the powerful antibodies to aid us in a time of accident or infection, so should the church aid someone who is under attack from the enemy. We have to be burden bearers together. We have to come alongside our brother, amen, and help them when they have fallen. It is not our job to kick them when they are down, but the Bible says that we need to come alongside of them and help them up, amen, in their time of weakness, or in their time of failure, or whatever time they may be in. It's not our job to keep pushing them down, but it's our job to help them up. We need a strong support system for each other. We need a strong support system for each other. We're living in tough times and in hard times and in dark times. Amen. We need to have somebody that we can lean on that'll help us in our time of need, that'll help us carry a burden, that'll help us, that'll come alongside of us and say, "Hey, brother, I don't think that's right." Amen. That'll call you out in a sense because they love you, not out of meanness, but out of care, because they want to help you and they want to help you make it to heaven. Amen. So we cannot handle everything alone. At some time, life will hand us a load that will crush us if we try to bear it alone. Did you hear that? At some time, life will hand us a load that will crush us if we try to bear it alone. There are things that we cannot bear. And that's not to say that you're any less of a person, or you're a weak person, but there are things that we need help in. Amen. Our mutual spiritual survival is dependent upon our supporting burdened people through prayer, encouragement, empathy, and sympathy. In the church, there should be strong familial ties, brotherhood, camaraderie, and a feeling that we are our brother's keeper. We cannot allow an independent, macho, self-sustaining spirit and attitude to rob us of needed fellowship and support. Amen. We cannot let that rob us of those things, because we need each other. We need that support system. We need that fellowship. We need that camaraderie. Amen. I don't know about you, but if I'm having a tough time, being around my church family helps me. It picks me up. Why? Because they're encouraging me. They're saying, "Hey, brother, you can make it. Hey, sister, you can make it." Amen. And I appreciate those that will come alongside of me and do that. I appreciate that. Amen. And it helps. We need that. Occasionally, we will need help, but we also have the resources to help others. Will we withhold good when it is in the power of our hand to do good? Proverbs 3 and 27. God curse, I'm going to say this name wrong too, Meroz, because the inhabitants did not come to the aid of their brethren. In Judges 5 and 23, below are a few of the many passages of Scripture that point out our personal responsibility towards one another. Let us accept the challenge to fulfill them in our lives as we study them. Romans 15 and 1 says, the strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 14 says, we are to support the weak. Psalms 38 and 4 says, David's iniquities were as a heavy burden to him. Romans 12 and 15, we are to weep with those who weep. Luke 15, 11 through 32, in the parable of the prodigal son, Jesus rebuked the elder brother's wrong attitude towards his brother who had failed. Psalms 37, 23 and 28, though a good person falls, he will not be utterly cast down. Jesus prayed for Peter when Satan desired to have him and sift him as wheat in Luke, Luke 22, 31. Amen. 31 through 32. Excuse me. When we bear one another's burdens, we fulfill one of the highest principles of the Scripture known as the law of Christ. The law of Christ, we should let this principle be the guiding force of our lives as it was in the life of Christ. On him was laid the iniquities of all of us, in Isaiah 53 and 6. He took on our infirmities and bore our sickness, in Matthew 8 and 17. He seeks the one lost sheep when it goes astray, in Luke 15, 4 through 7. As the Samaritan helped the man who was robbed and left beside the road, he comes where we are and helps us. He comes where we are and helps us. Luke 10, 33 through 37. In the atonement, we see Christ not only as the sacrifice that dies for us, but also as the scapegoat that bears away our sins and burdens, in Leviticus 16, 1 through 28. What a beautiful example for us to follow in bearing one another's burdens. Everyone shall bear his own burden as well. A few verses below the statement that we are to bear one another's burdens, the Bible seems to reverse its position by informing us that we are to bear our own burdens. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. He deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. This position is not contradictory. However, for the Scripture here deals with another type of burden. In this context, the word burden comes from the Greek word. Like I said, I'm not a Greek person, but I'll try. Phaerethon, which means something carried as a task or service. As a task or service. Galatians 6 and 4 informs us that we are to prove our own work, thereby laying upon us the responsibility of shouldering our share of the load. Say that again. Laying upon us the responsibility of shouldering our share of the load of God's kingdom. Each of us must bear certain task and obligation. No one else can carry our part of the load in the local church. Christians must accept that God requires something of them, and they cannot shift this responsibility to someone else, because it's your responsibility. If they are to examine and demonstrate their own work, the following verses of Scripture vividly portray individual responsibility. We see here in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, that we are to take upon us the yoke of Christ. And in Romans 12 and 1 through 2, it says we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Luke 9 and 23 says, three requirements are demanded of us if we are to be his disciples. We are to deny ourselves. We are to take up our cross daily, and we are to follow Christ. We have a responsibility to use the talents God has given us. Amen. In Matthew 25:14-30, in the work of the tabernacle, the Levites had certain burdens and services they were to render to God and people in Numbers. No one can go to church in our place. You have to do that yourself. You have to go to the house of God on your own. Neither can anyone fill our place in prayer or in fasting. Pastor says it like this: I can pray for you, but I cannot do your praying for you. And so we gotta do that on our own. We have to pray. We have to fast. And in finances and in altar working and in personal witnessing, no one can do this for you but yourself. Each church needs many kinds and types of workers. Why not make our services available to our local church? Great needs exist for people to be janitors, to cut the grass, to trim the shrubs, what we used to have, we pulled them out, to pull weeds really, to clean the baptistry, to tend to the nursery, teach Sunday school, clean windows, cook, clean the parking lot, change light bulbs, sing in the choir, paint, decorate, do plumbing, electrical, carpentry work, run the sound system, visit the sick and the shut-in and the elderly type, usher, playing on the instruments on the platform, and so on and so forth. There are many things that you can get involved in. The list of workers needed in the work of God is endless, and there is a spot for you to help. We will never be happy if we are not involved. Yes, these are burdens, and that is what the Bible calls them. But do we want to sail through life on someone else's money, work, and labor? Deep inside, we do not. Something in each of us longs to do our part and bear our own burden. I challenge you to get involved, to put your hand to the plow, never to look back, and do with all your might what your hand finds to do. And if you're needing help to figure that out, we have clothespins in the impact room. And we'll be glad to have you help and get involved in helping the kingdom of God. Amen. Casting our burdens on the Lord. In Psalms 55:22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Obviously, the two types of burdens we have studied previously are not to be cast upon the Lord. Here the scripture deals with an entirely different type of burden. And in this context, burden comes from the Hebrew word yahab, which means what is given by providence and ascribed to us as our lot or burden. The burdens that David spoke of are ones over which we have no control. Often the bearers does not understand them. They can be spiritual or physical. In many cases, they're humanly impossible to bear. But at the same time, they cannot be avoided or escaped. Like a Siamese twin, often they cannot be removed from our lives. Burdens of this nature can make us unhappy, tormented, and bitter if we are not careful to avoid this. We must cast these burdens upon the Lord. In this category of burdens are sickness, disease, death of loved ones, tragedy, loss of limb, hearing, sight, financial disaster, broken homes, wayward children, a child with mental retardation or serious illness. These are many things listed. Persecution, incapacitable injuries, and so on and so forth. There is an endless list of life's taxing burdens. If we find ourselves in a situation such as this, we must refuse to allow bitterness, doubt, and anger or hurt to dominate our spirit. In such times, we should cling to the words of Peter, casting all, not some, not a little, but casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. When we cast our cares and burdens on the Lord, he sustains us. To sustain means to keep in existence, to maintain, to keep going, to keep supplied with necessities, to carry the weight or burden of, strengthening the spirit, comfort, and encourage. There are two ways in which God can sustain us. We should be submissive regardless of the method he chooses. He can, one, remove the burden. And that's the one we really want a lot of times. God can often use this method of sustaining us. It is by far the easiest for us when he chooses to do so. Here are some of these examples. The cup passes from us. We are healed of sickness or infirmity. Our persecutor is taken out of the way as Herod was. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, thus alleviating the family sorrow. God healed Job, gave him a family again, and restored his wealth. If God does not see fit to remove or take away the cause of the burden, when we cast it upon him, he will use a second avenue of sustaining us. And that will be to help us bear the burden. Help us bear the burden. Although this is difficult for us, it is often not God's will to remove from us the burden we are bearing. God's abiding promise remains the same even in these times. He will sustain us. Here are a few examples. God preserved the New Testament church in persecution. The cup was not removed from Jesus, but an angel did strengthen him. Paul's thorn was not removed, but God gave him grace. In temptation, God makes a way of escape that way that we may be able to bear it. We should never doubt or question God's sustaining methods for his promise. And yes, and amen. His promises are yes and amen. And he abides faithful. David outlined 7 personal responsibilities of the believer in such times in Psalms. One of them is we are to trust the Lord and do good. We are to delight ourselves in the Lord. We are to commit our way unto the Lord. We are to rest in the Lord. We are to cease from anger. We are to wait upon the Lord. We are to mark the perfect person and behold the upright. Now we know what God wants us to do with life's burdens. The chorus of an old song is applicable to this lesson and is good to sing as we face life's burdens. And I'll just read it to you. It says, leave them there, leave them there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. If you'll trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And if you're heavy burdened tonight, and if you've been battling some things, I challenge you to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. If you want, you can come, and I'll open these altars for a time of prayer. And I want you to take those burdens to God and leave them there. Amen. Thank you. I wonder if you know the song. Can you sing it with us? So thankful for you, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to keep your hand of protection about us as we get ready to travel home, God. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to guide us safely, God, to the house. We thank you for this time, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's go to heaven, how? Together. You're dismissed.